Well, welcome to a Panthers end of season podcast. We're going to reflect on the season for the Nottingham Panthers, look back at the playoff finals weekend, and I'm sure give our own take on what we saw because most of us were there. I think only Chris Gillespie wasn't there, but we'll touch on that later. But there is w only one place to start, and that is today that the Panthers and Mitch Fossier announced that this is Mitch Fossier's retirement season. Mitch Fossier has retired from professional ice hockey, and I think everybody will share all our sentiments in wishing him all the best. You only need to look at social media. And look, social media can be the worst place in the world, but today it's one of the best places because although it's sad news to see the outpouring of just love and gratitude for what Foss has done for this organization. Social media, although a sad place for Nottingham Panthers fans today, it is a place where, of course, everybody can show what Foss meant to this organization. In case you haven't seen, I'm sure you have. He says for medical reasons, he felt it was better to hang up his skates now. But what a way to hang up his skates. A year and a half with the Nottingham Panthers, and he wins three trophies. Absolutely amazing. Let's go to the hockey player amongst us. Start with you, Greener. You can talk about, Foss and what you think of him, but it is some way to, I think sometimes hockey players will have their careers dictated to them by coaches or by other situations. And yes, this one has been dictated by an injury, and that's really sad. But at the same time, he gets to leave it after winning two trophies this year. I know he didn't play his part in the Continental Cup, but he was still a massive part of the team. But three trophies in 2 years, and that's really special.
Yeah, and I think that probably plays into his decision really, because I think if he'd maybe had a couple of disappointing years here or whatever, he'd want to keep playing to end on a high. But I almost think it's a compliment that he feels like his 2 years here, that's kind of rounded out his career enough where he sees that retirement is the only option. It's not going to get better than this. I'm going to end on a massive high. Obviously, winning the playoffs would have been even an even better way. But I just think it's great that he thinks, he's not going to find anywhere better. He doesn't want to go pursuing anything else. But yeah, amazing guy, on and off the ice, great player, obviously. Yeah, real shame that, because of the injuries he's picked up, not only this year, but over the last few years, he's obviously made that decision. But yeah, I think it was just great for all of us to kind of be a part of his career and, what a impact he made when he came in. I think it was in the November last year when he came in, just it just kind of gave us that bump and we never looked back. So yeah, amazing career and amazing guy as well.
And Jono, it's almost what it is. It's another Sam Hare situation. Sam Hare spent a year and three quarters with the Panthers, made such an impact. Mitch Fossier, basically a year and three quarters, except he came later and obviously played the huge part at the back end of the season last year. And obviously with Sam Hare, we will never know what we could have won that year because the season ended in his first year because of the pandemic. And then, of course, he wins last year with Mitch Fossier. He wins the playoffs. But, again, I think it says a lot about the character just as much on the ice, which he was amazing, but off the ice too, that he can make such an impact in such a short space of time.
Yeah, huge impact he made. And as you said right at the start, you only have to look at the outpouring on Twitter and Facebook from the news and the things that people have put. They just it's quite emotional, really, and brings a little bit of a tear to your eye when you see what people have put about him and what a great impact he has had. He was a fantastic player. He scored over a point a game, scored that huge overtime winner in the playoff final, scored in the Challenge Cup final. What an impact. What a player. He deserves all the plaudits that he's getting from all over the fan base and outside the fan base as well, to be fair. A lot of fans of other teams as well, passing on their best wishes, which is really good to see. And he will be a big part of recent Panthers history for what he has done for this club. Three trophies while he's been here in that year and a half, and it's very, very sad to see him go. But at the same time, he has to look after himself and look after his body, and at least he's going out on a big high.
Yeah, absolutely spot on, Jono. Ken, what have you got to add? Where do you want to take the conversation?
I just think, what a hockey player, but also what a guy off the ice. Like, just such a great, great person, a lovely person as well. And I think, anybody who had the privilege of meeting him and talking to him would know he was a professional through and through, and the way he conducted himself off the ice was impeccable as well. A massive, massive loss, a huge hole to fill, and I'd be definitely, definitely in favour of crowdfunding for a bronze statue on Bolero Square of him jumping into Timmy's arms. So if anyone
picture.
Wants to hit me up, with that, like, I think we should be crowdfunding a bronze, because that moment, he actually won two playoff titles. Let's remember that. He didn't win one, he won two, because we had to win it twice.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's funny because you talk about, I mean, our fabulous photographers at Panthers Images, they captured that moment so well. Behind me, I have a picture of the 2004 Challenge Cup win, and that's great. I also have one more, which is somewhere, I haven't put it up in the house that I'm in at the moment, but it would eventually go up. But I've had so many more moments since those early days. And I, with GB as well. But I was thinking about this the other day that, maybe put a little montage together of recent Panthers successes and that Fossier moment as he jumps into the arms, like the Hembrandt moment, which they caught so well in the Challenge Cup final.
And I just think as well, you can count. He's a player that could just he could change a game. He could do something. He'd just step up and do something brilliant. And that, there's not. We've had some great players over the years, but you can count on probably the fingers of one hand the ones that were true magicians. I mean, his penalty shots as well.
Such a random penalty shot.
I'll tell you something now, and Steph will kill me, but Mitch Fossier steps up for a penalty shot. And obviously he just takes his time. He goes, and he does that move and slows right down to the point of almost stopping and beats the keeper. And bless him, Steph, he'd announce, right, next for the Panthers is number 18, Mitch Fossier. And then he'd go, right, I've got time now to go and make a cup of tea. I'll be back.
He won't kill you. That's funny. That's funny, Steph.
he's so cool. He's so funny. But just cool. What a cool guy. Can't say enough positive about him, and a genuinely nice guy off the ice, and could have somebody that was just, I just feel like he, these players could have mass. He's no ego about him. And I think that says something about him. Really humble guy, really good guy. And, yeah, and a fantastic musician as well, and with plenty of talent, and what a guy.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things to pick on from what you've said. Fantastic musician, Pink Pony Club was a special thing. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that he was nervous about that night, playing, his guitar in front of thousands of people, but he did it for Ollie, and it again shows the type of person he is. I'm sure, maybe one day we'll be seeing Foss as a famous artist. But no, what a great moment that was. I'm just thinking out loud as well. I mean, we've not talked about, of course, the great, the moment he came back from injury and scored the winning penalty shot in Glasgow, that it was written in the stars that night. And you talk about you guys off the ice as well. I've seen so many tributes across all social media of people posting their pictures with Foss, with their children, and saying, thank you, Foss, for the time that you've given me, my daughter, my son, this moment, that moment. And that shows what it's like off the ice and then on the ice.
Just on that, he was always, because we often have a catch up in the green room afterward, and there's a few of us that do that. And he was always the last one in for his food. And a lot of that, was because he was out, he was talking to fans and signing and staying for pictures and taking that time. And he'd be the last, and sometimes he'd come in and somebody would have eaten his special gluten-free stuff that had been left for him or whatever. And but he didn't, he was just, yeah, that was the kind of guy he was. He was just care, he just cares. And there's not many people that do.
Promise I'll come to you in a moment, Chris. But the point I was going to make, we talk about the big moments. And when I wrote the story on the website, I mean, I might forget one, but kind of the highlight moments: playoff quarterfinal, home leg, hat trick, playoff semi-final, goal and assist, playoff final, the winning goal twice. Then you move on to the continental, sorry, into the Challenge Cup. He gets a goal, assists on the winner. He just constantly turned out in the big occasions, and and then off the ice, like you said, like so many stories. Chris, to you, he gave you a great moment. You'll go down in BBC Radio Nottingham folklore. He gave you that commentary. Just give us your thoughts about Foss.
I mean, I'm not sure about going down in folklore, but yeah, I mean, obviously, you think of Mitch Foss, and for me anyway, I think of that final and that kind of epic kind of 4 hour game that we had and a 5 hour broadcast. But as everyone else has said, the time he'd said, I mean, he'd always chat to us after the game while we're waiting for interviews or whatever. And I think what we've seen on social media today just shows how much. He was kind of loved and adored by the fans, and they are very, very big shoes that somebody's going to have to try and fill next season.
Yeah, I mean that's great. It's an interesting balance, isn't it? We lost Sam Hare, he moves on, big shoes to fill, and then we lost Mitch Fossier, big shoes to fill, and obviously the recruitment team, Omar Pasha and Danny Stewart, getting to work straight away. And that's the exciting thing about off season, because before we know it, there'll be signing news, I am sure, around the corner. Where should we go now? Playoff weekend. Let's go to playoff weekend. That's more fresh in the memory. As I say, I saw Jono. I saw Ken. I didn't see Greener, but I was told he was there. A few little spies told me they'd seen you. So I know you were there. Chris Gadsby threw his toys out the pram. Didn't come. Not coming. Panther's not there. I'm not coming. Don't blame you, mate. That's fair enough. But yeah, let's
I mean,
go.
let's be right. That was not how it happened.
Well, you weren't there. You could have come.
I could have
I
come,
mean, you could
but
have done.
no. I mean, no. I mean,
You could have
get me
commentated to no
accreditation
one.
from the. No, I mean, get the accreditation from the BBC, and it was a case of, well, Panthers aren't there, so accreditation not needed. So.
No, I only jest. I get it. Let's go to the man who seemed to enjoy his weekend, Jono. Saw pictures of you holding your shoe up in a bar.
Yeah,
Yeah, you know what?
that was late on Sunday, just for context.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I think we're going to discuss what could be done. I think, I don't know whether we're going to have disagreements in here, but I think we're going to discuss what could be done to make different playoffs. Everyone's got their view, but again, let's go kind of for the romantic side, Jono. And I talk about your shoe in the air in a bar, but I saw a group of your friends, but other people in other hockey shirts were in that picture. It kind of sums up the ethos as player. Let's talk about it off the ice, and I will touch on something, just very briefly. I was speaking to somebody who's relatively new to hockey, and they were beginning to discuss with me and go, "How could you get, more fans of the teams that are there tickets?" And they're quite new, so and they've actually never been to playoffs. And one of their points was, and I do respect their point, and then I came back with what I'm going to push you on, Jono. But they said maybe you could set it once the finalists are known. They're like, you'd probably sell out in a week, and you know what? He's probably right. It would sell out in the week, and you probably would sell out of the four teams that are there. The practicalities of hotels and flights would make it wrong. But the main thing that would make that idea wrong, and I understand why he had that idea, but the main thing why he would make it wrong is, of course, what playoffs to me isn't just about. It's not just about the four teams. It's about the 10 teams or the eight teams or nine, 12, 11, whatever it's been over the years. That's at the key heart, I think, of the ethos of our playoff weekend. Is that fair, Jono?
Absolutely spot on. And I put a tweet out, it was like 20 to midnight, not long before the shoe incident.
You'd had a few.
And I'd had a few, yeah.
Just a
But
couple of lemonades.
everybody's in the pub is packed, and it's mixed with fans from every single team. And there's not a hint of trouble. Everyone's having a great time. And I think that's the whole ethos of it. But the social side, it's an absolutely fantastic weekend, and everybody goes to have a good time. I mean, my daughter went to her first playoff weekend, and she loved it. She got to get pictures with all the mascots that were there, so she was really, really happy. It's, a lot of families go, a lot of people go, a lot of alcohol is drunk, but there's never ever a hint of
Hey,
trouble.
Jono,
And
is the rumor true I heard at the weekend that your daughter's more now a Panther than a Steeler?
The rumor is very true.
Is this true? You've
This
done
is
well.
true.
Well
Yeah.
done, Agent Bullard.
Well, that, I knew as she got older and she got more intelligent, things would change. So it's just a great example of playing the long game.
Yes. Okay, on to Ken next. You can touch on off the ice as well. Or do you want to talk about on the ice? Do you think something could be done? I'll tee you up now. So many people talk about a five game, three game series. Is it possible? I think we all accept five and seven game series aren't possible. Someone said to me the other day, make the Challenge Cup final a playoff weekend. Whether it'd work at the in the middle of the season or at the end, I don't, rather than the end, I don't know. But where's your feeling? Do you have a view on
Yeah,
off
I think
the ice you want to share?
that's a good point. I think there's something very unique about the Final Four, and I think that is, something that should be preserved. But whether it's something that, like, that's a good thing. And I've heard similar around. You could do something with the Challenge Cup that ended in a Final Four type scenario, and maybe to the point that was raised earlier. Maybe that would make something like late booking easier if it was working through a Challenge Cup type format leading up to a Final Four, and you could get the Challenge Cup done earlier in the year maybe. And I think what didn't it used to be called the Autumn Cup? I think we've had this debate before, and it was like, the clue was it was played in the autumn, so you almost get that done and out of the way, and a Final Four type weekend to do the Challenge Cup. And then you just, even if you could just extend it to a three game series, would that really be too much of a stretch, and just make more of that? And
It's booking ice time, isn't it? Especially at the arena clubs.
yeah, but is it? I mean, is there something going on that ice all the time that all those venues wouldn't be able to shift for, I know they might have Rick Astley coming in, but
Oh, I'm gutted I missed Rick Astley last night. Gutted.
he's never going to give you up, is
He
he?
never. First single I ever bought, Never Gonna Give You Up on a cassette.
Or let you down. Yeah,
Hey,
never going to desert
so
you.
you're if I suddenly said, Ken, you are the CEO of the Elite League and you are in control of all decisions,
Have I got executive powers?
executive powers, the clubs don't have a say, Ken Feast is in sole charge. Are you changing the playoffs to three game series in your heart of hearts?
I know there's going to be there's like so many bigger picture reasons why it doesn't work, and there's so many people that are way better qualified than me to advise on this. I'd l just love to see it. I would love to see it.
But then you get greedy because three game series don't seem long enough. I mean, my team Ottawa are two down now, and we need a win tonight, and that one might go seven. That's I'm dreaming, so is three enough? Three maybe is the three's probably the most realistic we're going to get in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's go to,
yeah,
sorry.
I just think, I think why would it? Yeah, no, I get the argument, but if you knew that the top eight were going to go into that sort of format, and then the top four, you'd have a pretty decent idea ahead of time to be able to. Is the ice all over the country really completely booked up consecutively that you couldn't do that? And would those venues not want that or make space for that, given they would probably sell out or very near? You know, you've got to remember that when this was first discussed, my view is the attendance wasn't what the attendance is now.
Yeah.
And is part of it that in that moment, in that time, there wasn't the guarantee of being able to book that arena time and make sure you knew you were going to, because there's no doubt in my mind now, those sort of, the fan base is there and of a size and of a quality that you would sell those games.
Okay.
Surely.
I'm going to throw a really boring conundrum into it. You know, let's say the arena that we know, Nottingham, let's say Nottingham are playing somebody in a three-game series and it goes to the third game. You're not going to know that third game is happening until quite late, till the end of the second game. But my point is, game three will come quite quickly on the back of game two, maybe two, three, four, 5 days later. The arena might be able to be booked, but you're also going to have to book staff who, if they're booked, like, penciled in, might have to be canned. Do you see where I'm going with this?
So,
I'm giving
okay,
a really boring corporate answer. So how do you solve?
So I'll counter that back and I'll say this, right? Would, if you were a fan and you'd got a three-game series,
yep,
and that three-game series and the security, would you pay an additional premium on a ticket price to go to that game to cover the fact that there might be need to cover a venue cost for a game that might never happen included in that cost of that ticket? Because that's what we're really asking, because what we're talking about is commercially, does this work or doesn't it? And what, you know, you've seen the Cardiff Devils bravely come out and go, look, we've got a certain number of seats, we want to compete, and therefore we're capping season ticket numbers and we're putting our ticket prices up, okay, on a commercial view. And do I think that Cardiff Devils won't sell out again like it has? Of course it will.
Yeah,
there is
yeah.
demand there. So if you said, look, if there is demand and the fan bases want this, you are going to have to pay more for a playoff ticket because we need to cover the fact that that game three might never happen. And could you then approach it similarly to how cricket approaches, you know, when a test match goes to that fifth day? And you go, well, actually, we'll do some, if it does go to the game, the third game, we'll do something on the third game's ticket price to reflect the fact, to give something back.
Yeah. That's a really interesting question. This should probably be on Business Today rather than this podcast. But you could probably do a whole debate about the business side. I'm going to swing it back now to Greener before coming to you, Chris. From a hockey player's side, you know, where do you sit with this? A three-game series? You know, playoff finals weekend. You've been part of it. Playoff finals weekend, three-game series. Tell me where you sit.
Yeah, I think it's. I agree with a lot of what the other guys would say. I think the actual playoff weekend is a really cool way to finish it because it's so unique. You know, it's probably the only league in Europe that does it that way. And I think, you know, all of us have experienced so many good moments, weekends, games. You know, we've all just talked about last year, it's Cardiff and whatever. But for me, I think it just needs to be harder to get to the weekend. That's my big thing. I think ultimately you do a best of seven or whatever, but realistically, that's probably never going to happen. So for me, I think, you know, you keep that weekend, you make that magical, special weekend of the the vibe and the atmosphere of the playoffs, but you've just got to make it harder to get there. So it's either you have a series against someone, so it was us and Manchester, just say, and you do a best of five to make it, or I just don't understand why they don't go back to how they used to do it when I first came into the league, when it was a two groups of four, because that way you know the games and the dates. It's, there's no surprises. So that covers everything we were talking about, the issues with that. And you still get a good 2 or 3 weeks of games. So you just have two groups of four, or what is it, like 1, 4, 5, and 8 in a group. And the other four, you play each team once home, once away. That's 6 games. And the top two go through. And then that way you get like a 3 week build up of playoffs. You get, you know, really good games. And it's sort of a month long to make the finals weekend. And for me, I just think that's the easiest way, where you get a bit of everything. But
yes.
I don't know what your thoughts on it are.
I like that. We've agreed on this one before, Greeno. It's coming back to me. I'd like to see the two groups of four. Let's say 10-team league, two groups of four. At least it extends playoffs, builds up a bit of rivalry. Again, I'm going to play devil's advocate because I think that's the format I like. I guess it's tough luck, but one team set of fans and players finish a month early. But that's life. Just getting
be
the playoffs.
Better at hockey then. That's
unlucky. Chris. Chris, I feel you've not really spoke, so apologies. But yeah, come on, throw in your, have you got a hand grenade to throw in here?
So, I like the thought of a series, but we know that the timing, the dates, the money and everything. I think the only way you could make a series work is if you almost did it like the Ashes, where even if the Ashes is lost 3-0, you still end up playing the other two. Because then you guarantee the dates, but then the teams wouldn't really fancy that because it's just a chance of getting injured. I like finals weekend, but and this year was different, obviously, with Manchester and Glasgow, but I think they need to change the third, fourth place game. And maybe do something else like a British junior showcase so people can see some of the up-and-coming talent that's going to be in the Elite League, or I think haven't they done England versus Scotland before, stuff like that. Just something a bit different because, Manchester and Glasgow, you know, they played it hard. It was an important game for them. But, you know, we've seen 15-8 scorelines, you know, 8-6, 9-6. Everyone plays the backup netminder. And I feel like they could do something a bit different and a bit better with that third place game.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I remember being told England, Scotland, it's not the cheapest game to put on. There's quite a few costs associated with it. But I mean, you know, it's, I would like to see another generation. I saw some people say...
Do you need it? Do you need the third, fourth place game?
That's what I was thinking as well. Get rid of it. Just play
just
the
get
final.
Rid of it. Just you know.
Good. Yeah, I mean, could you do like a skills competition, but then you'd have to rely on the players from teams that aren't then playing in the final? And
you're not getting players for that. I know what you're saying. So the point I was going to make was somebody had said the NHL final needs to go. Well, that's crazy because you've got a full rink in Coventry, so that's not going to work. You know, you're not going to be able to get that one. I saw again. Respect the opinion, saw where they were coming from. But the NHL has its own weekend that, as far as I know, pretty much sells out in Coventry. But I think there's some good points there. I think finally, we haven't got long. I think we'll look more back in the season when we meet in a couple of weeks and we can start to reflect on some new faces. I think all of us here were quite happy for Cardiff winning, weren't we? Let's start with you, Ken. You, like me, had to wear a different hat. I went on the ice and did some work for Premier Sports. You were obviously on the mic as a neutral. But I was, you know, it was nice to see some former Panthers happy. Mark Richardson, Christoph Kontos, just to name two. Evan Mosey. Ben Bounds, of course, played for the Panthers in the Elite Series. Tomo, who we all said we were big fans of on this podcast, we all said that, you know, Cardiff on paper maybe didn't look the best team, but never rule out a Paul Thompson team, and that came true, didn't it, Ken?
Yeah, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think, obviously playing the neutral role and yeah, hopefully people feel that that was done in the right way in terms of being neutral. So yeah, I think happy to see some former Panthers do so well. And it was nice afterwards as well to go and have a word with Paul Thompson and also with Todd Kelman. And Todd was, he made a specific comment around the fact, this is why we hired Paul Thompson.
Yeah, he
You know,
did.
he was very clear about this is what we wanted, this is what we went and did, and we wanted somebody who was going to bring success back to the Cardiff Devils. And obviously they were runners up last year to a great Nottingham Panthers side, and they've won it this year. And yeah, I think it was a I thought it was a, yeah an entertaining final. And I thought what was standing in front of those Cardiff fans to see what it meant to them. And
Yeah.
I felt that, and to give credit to the fans of the Sheffield Steelers as well, and in fact the fans of the Manchester Storm and the fans of the Glasgow Clan, I thought the fan bases that were there hopefully felt that they had the space to make themselves heard. And it was loud going into that final, and
The
all sets of
noise was
fans
screeching.
did themselves absolutely proud. And yeah, I felt that they were credit to their respective clubs.
Yeah, you're right. The noise was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, my voice went early in the weekend down between the benches. It's still not back now, but yeah, the noise was very, very loud. We haven't got long. Jono, no truth in the rumor that you were gutted that Sheffield didn't win? Come off mute. Need to take you off mute before we can hear your yeah, I heard a little bit of gossip that you were absolutely devastated at Sheffield, and you were crying into your pint. No truth.
No, that's not true. That's not true
Okay.
at all. But funnily enough, I managed to find a seat right behind my wife for the final, so that was fun. I don't think she was too pleased with my proximity to her during that final. But
Yeah.
there we go.
He might just the I just laughed at. I mean, I guess your rivalry is one that is it's just amazing. Two biggest.
I was just glad that I'm the only one in the household who's got to celebrate trophy wins this season again.
And I'm sure you've reminded her.
Oh, and
Of course.
I would say actually, just sorry, I don't know if they're listening, but thank you to the Sheffield Steelers fans that brought me some chocolate and some sweets. I appreciate that.
Yes, I remember you saying. To be fair, you're right about as well complimenting the fans. The noise was great. Thought the Sheffield fans were insane, especially on the Sunday, but all fans as well. We're going to run out of time, but listen, that was great to talk about playoff weekend and great to talk about Foss. And we'll be back with you again, I'm sure, very soon indeed. Thanks for joining us on the Panthers podcast.